Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.
Ashok Kurian is managing director at Ballinor Plantations, which is headquartered in Bangalore, India. His son, Rowan, is the manager of corporate affairs for the company, which has holdings in tea and coffee, ornamental plants, roses, areca nut palm, pepper, and green timber. Ballinor annually produces 625 metric tons of tea on 225 hectares, grows about 500 metric tons of Arabica and Robusta coffee, and produces 30 metric tons of mainly white pepper, as well as 40 metric tons of areca nuts. The plantation yields 700 to 1,000 trees annually. Separate holdings include 15 hectares of cut roses for export globally and a plantation in Malappuram that produces 65 metric tons of rubber annually.
Welcome to the T-Biz podcast. This week, it's my great pleasure to introduce Ashok and Rowan, his son, Kurian, from South India. The farm Ballinor has been well known for many, many years as a resource for not just tea, but for a lot of different crops, coffee, for example, and also timber. Ashok, I'm going to start with you and just ask you to describe your venture from the vantage of a rural entrepreneur.
Hi, Dan. Morning from India. We are a plantation company, which was started in 1937, and we were mainly at that time both coffee and tea. Since then, we have diversified into growing other crops like pepper, areca nut, timber, and even trying to grow some fruit trees to be not mainly dependent on only the main crops of tea and coffee. We have done it fairly successfully, but not achieved scale nor break even in regards to tea. We're still having a tough time struggling with tea, where the labor requirement is huge and our terrain does not lend itself to mechanization. We will have to now try to develop the brand to see that we can add a little more value than sell a commodity.
Rowan, you're going to inherit your father's investment in the land and the business that he's established. Will you share with listeners your vision of the future?
Thank you, Dan, firstly, for giving me the opportunity to join you and my dad on the podcast. Yeah, the inheritance of the investment is a good thing, but it's going to be a tough journey for all of us. As you've been rightly mentioning, the tea industry has been struggling for a while, but we are quietly optimistic if we can overcome certain hurdles with regards to labor and start developing the new age technologies of harvesting. We do have a chance of improving the overall productivity as well as the realization with regards to the product that we produce, which is tea. Most tea growers need to pull together. We need to be united in our actions if we have to sustain. Right now, it looks like it is every man for himself. But one good thing is, if you look at Karnataka in particular, growers are coming together. We have an association where we collate our data, our ideas, we share information. In fact, we're just organizing an area scientific conference, which we do every year, where we go to each other's estates and learn from each other on how we can overcome certain hardships which everyone is facing. I think that is something that our industry needs to do in totality if we want to move forward and improve on the overall quality of our produce. We have been noticing that earlier on, it used to be more quantity, quantity, quantity while sacrificing on the quality. Now we started to realize that quality is what sells and gives you a better price. So the focus has now moved from just quantity to getting a balance of quantity and quality. And automatically the realization is going up. So we are quietly optimistic, but also a little worried at the way things are going. It's not all doom and gloom. There is a little bit of sunshine at the end of it, but it is to see how we can sustain, to maintain, to see the sunrise to the top.
I love to hear you say that. The voice of the future are the folks who are young and energetic now and viewing the business as something that is worth their time and effort. And you see in so much of the world, the next generation simply abandons tea. At one point, tea and coffee were pretty much everything you did. How much does tea contribute towards your revenue and employment? And where do you think it's sustainable? What kind of annual yield, for example, does a farm have to produce to stay in business in the business of tea?
We were almost 50% tea and 50% coffee as regards to the total revenue that we generated. But acreage-wise, coffee is bigger than tea. And productivity-wise, tea produces more kgs per acre compared to coffee. But that's purely because of the yield tea has, because it's harvested throughout the year. The turnover does not really matter as far as agriculture is concerned. It all depends on your profitability per acre and the price per kilo that we have. And when it comes to labor deployment, our almost 60% of our labor is deployed in tea. It's a daily crop. It has to be harvested every 18 days. And mostly ours is semi-manual, using shears or motorized shears. From 2002 onwards, tea has been losing money and is being sustained by our other crops, like coffee, pepper, arecanut, and timber that we grow. Turnover right now is about 15 crores Indian rupees. But turnover, like I said, is not an important factor. It's only what profit you make per kilo of produce that you grow.
Rowan, what's the most promising technology you see emerging?
In India, though we have 1.8 billion people, the biggest issue that we face is the labor shortage. Nobody wants to work on a tea estate. It's been a constant struggle for us to get a uniform labor force to work with us year in and year out. We have moved on to mechanical harvesting machines, single man operated machines where the worker is able to harvest easily double of what a shear harvester is able to do. It is a struggle for us because we are unable to convince the labor to use this machine.
He's just not generating a lot of revenue, and the economy in Europe slowing down, and just some very traditional ups and downs. There's way too much tea in the market from Africa, for example. What advice would you give fellow growers in the business who are contemplating or are currently involved in multi-cropping?
We originally thought about our business as only a beverage company, tea and coffee. We shifted from that, and my advice to farmers, small, not the large ones, is to consider yourself as an owner of the land. And you will find that there are portions of your estate which are not suitable for tea or coffee, but suitable for other crops. In India, what we've noticed is because of the terrain that we have started planting those areas with a little more density of shade trees, because timber will become a very, very valuable asset, because with EU making under the EUDR saying that you can't have more timber cut from forest areas. So we will be at an advantage to have timber grown in your coffee and tea estates and getting more revenue out of it. Each one has to develop his or her own advantage of the land that they have. For us, it is very clear that it will be timber, it will be pepper. Both are compatible with each other. In valleys where the water flows off from the estate, we would plant arecanut. We are not able to diversify into a large area of fruit trees because our land laws don't permit us to convert anything other than the crops which we are permitted to grow. So there is, as long as you don't get wedded to a single crop and say, we grew coffee in this land, we will continue to grow coffee, then you're limiting your opportunity. But coffee with fruit will be an ideal situation because this kind of prices for coffee will not sustain for a long time. And as far as tea is concerned, it will be, our own estate has got 550 acres of tea land, which if I reduce it down to 375 acres, will produce the same quantum of leaf, but can get some other income from the remaining 140 acres, which will be viable to grow fruit trees, and labor requirement for those harvesting of fruit trees or cultivating will be much less than what we require for tea. Ultimately, there is scope for land. It all depends on the rules of your country or your state, and as well, and also whether you have the money to diversify before you get swamped by the unviability of a single monocrop.
At Humana, our Medicare Advantage plans give you coverage and care you can count on, along with guided support to help you feel your best. You could have a plan with a $0 premium or an all-in-one plan that may include medical and prescription coverage, as well as routine dental, vision, and hearing. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
Produced by Atavita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.